That's just part of my, way of doing things. Makes people think, right? Amen? But, one of the things that I find interesting today, especially in today's world, you can't see from back there, you may want to move forward. You can see it better up front here. But one of the things that I have seen in today's world is that people do not use their Bibles. They don't. They don't take their Bibles to church. They don't read their Bibles on a daily basis. They just think that it's another book to take and hold up their bookshelf. Amen? And so what we need to realize is I was really, this really hit home to me when we were in Georgia, and here's a church of 500 or 600 people, and my wife and I are the only two there with our Bibles. Nobody else had a Bible in their hand. Not a Bible. And I'm thinking to myself, if you don't take a hammer when you go to work and you're a carpenter, how much work are you going to get done? If you don't have a saw, how much work are you going to get done? And I got to thinking of other occupations. If you're a bookkeeper and you don't have a calculator or pencil and pen along with you, how much are you going to get done? Absolutely nothing. Well, if we don't have our Bibles, what are we going to get accomplished? Oh, they say, I've got them on a tablet, and I've got them on a phone, and I've got this and that and everything else. But you know what? There's nothing better than to look at the Scripture while it's given and following along and going a verse or two above and verse or two below and finding out what the context of that verse really is. You have no idea how many conferences I've went to where a preacher will be preaching and he'll take a verse out of context and he'll try to build a message on that portion of a verse. And afterwards, I'll walk up to him and I'll go, that was a pretty good message. And he goes, well, thank you. I said, except for this fact. If you look at the total context of that verse, it had nothing to do with what you were trying to preach about. Well, if you use electronics instead of God's Word, I guarantee that you're going to be lost. And you're going to see that tonight. You're going to see why we need to use our Bibles. Why it's not okay to use our cell phones. Why it's not okay to use different things like that. But I did this study on bibliology back in 2005. And in it, I learned a lot. And I went through it again this week, and I changed some things and moved some things around a little bit. And so we're going to take and go through it. And I don't want to lose you in it, but yet I want you to grasp exactly why we need to use our Bibles, all right? And I think you'll take and see that as we go through this. But there's been much discussion over the years on the inspiration of the Bible, or inspiration as a whole. Now, there are different types of inspiration. There's inspiration... of the Bible did not, believe it or not, did not put the text on the paper. Did you know that? God talking the words didn't put them on the paper. That was inspiration, yes. But I want to show you some things here as we go through this. But verbal inspiration is not all true. And you could see that this last week. If you read the newspapers, the news media this last week had so many things so messed up that they had to four times make retractions of things that they had written the day before that were not right. Now, what we need to realize is that verbal inspiration or someone telling someone else is not always true. The next one is verbal plenary inspiration is not totally accurate. Now, plenary, what that means is that, okay, I tell Brother Chuck something. Brother Chuck tells it to Brother William. Brother William tells it to Brother Norm. Brother Norm tells it to Brother William. And by the time we get it all told, guess what? It gets a little messed up. Amen? Well, that's what that's talking about, is that if one person tells somebody else something, God might tell me something. I tell it to Chuck. Chuck tells it to William. William tells it to Norm. Norm tells it to Brother Mike. Yeah, we got it. And you know what? It gets all out of sorts. Now, if you go down a little farther and you look at verbal, plenary, infallible, inerrant inspiration, infallible and inerrant were limited terms. You know, they weren't always the same. There were different people that thought different things about the definition of those terms. What I want to look at tonight is how the Bible was written. I want to look at how the Bible was written. Biblical data concerning inspiration. In 2 Timothy 3:16 it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now there's three things which we need to look at in this verse. I believe that this verse is probably the most important verse of how the Bible was put together and why it was put together of any other verse in the Bible. I really do. And this is why. If you take and you look at the first part of that verse, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration and is what? Profitable. And is profitable. Now, 51 times the word Scripture is mentioned in the New Testament and always in reference to the same part of the Bible. Now, if you take and you look at that and you say to yourself, well, you know, that's only 51 times that it's mentioned in the Bible. Well, if God mentions something once, we need to take a look at it, right? If he says it twice, we better look at it real hard. But if he says it 51 times, you better really take a look at it. Because you know there's something there for you. In 1 Timothy 5:18, Paul draws the Old Testament and New Testament together. It says in 1 Timothy 5:18, for as Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Now what Paul is doing there is he's drawing the Old Testament into the New Testament. That was a direct quote out of Psalms. And what we need to realize is this. Old Testament and New Testament have got to coincide. Now there's an awful lot of books that were not put into the Bible. And we're going to see that next week when we get into the canonization of the Bible, of why there's books that weren't put in the Bible. The Apocrypha, for instance, there are 7 books there that were not put into the Old Testament because they did not believe that they were inspirational or they were breathed of God. Now, we're going to be looking at that in just a minute. But here we see Paul draws in the Old Testament into the New with what he has to say. In 2 Peter 3:16, Peter labels Paul's writing as Scripture. In 2 Peter 3:16, it says, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that our unlearned and unstable rest, or they wrestle with them, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You know, what we need to realize is this, is that all scripture, it doesn't make any difference if it's old scripture, the Old Testament, or the New Testament. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, let's take a look at inspiration for just a minute. What exactly, then, is inspiration? Well, the Bible is God breathed. Now, if you take and you think of breathing, there's two different parts of breathing, isn't there? There's inhalation and exhalation, right? You either take it in or you blow it out, right? Now, if you take and you think about God breathed, that means that God breathed out the Bible. He breathed out what he wanted men to write down. He didn't go and just hold it for himself. He breathed it out so that men would know exactly what to write down. Now, here we see the whole Bible was God-breathed. The Bible was something that God wanted man to have. The Bible was something that man needed. Now, up to the point of God having the Bible written, what was there? Up until the Bible was penned out, what was there? Conscience. Who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Moses. Where did he get his information from to write the first five books of the Bible? From the Lord. You know, you think about this. How did Moses know how the worlds were created? He wasn't there. How did he know about the flood? He wasn't there. How did he know about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? He wasn't there. God told him what to write. And God told him how much to write about it. I believe that Moses knew more about creation than what he wrote about. But God said, no, I don't want you to write this part. I just want you to write this part. And I truly believe that. But the whole book of Genesis was given to Moses by God. Now, what about Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? That was all written by what? Experience. Moses lived it. Moses could remember the story of his mom telling him, well, you know what, you were put into a bushel basket. And Miriam says, I'm the one who put you in the Nile River. I'm the one who saved your life. You got a right? Older sister, right? You know how that is? You know, Moses knew what to write through experience and through what God said. Now, you go into the law. How did Moses know what to write in the law? God, up on Mount Sinai? After all, how would you like to have been with God for 80 days and 80 nights? He's up there 40 days and 40 nights first time, and he came down, and he broke all 10 commandments at the same time. Can you imagine that? Threw them all down and broke them all at the same time. Literally. And then he went back up, and God gave them to him again. But I believe the second time, God gave him a whole lot more than he gave him the first time. Because God knew the heart of man. And what we need to realize is that when God told man what to write, they wrote just exactly what he did. Now, 2 Peter 1:21, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We talked about the Holy Spirit this morning in church, but the Holy Spirit moved or bore them along. Now, human men did not direct the writing of the Bible. It was not man's will, but it was God's will. It was God's will that everything that was put in that old book was the way it should be. Prophecy was not man's will, but it was God's will. You know, can you imagine? You know, it was like this morning when we were talking about Simeon. Simeon, he prophesied what? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Held a 8-day-old baby in the air, praised God, and then told Mary, well, this is what's going to happen to your boy. Prophesied 33 years before it happened. That was only from God. You know, man's error, you know, man errs. Do you know that? We do err once in a while. We don't, you know, we don't always do the right things. We do err. But the Holy Spirit is infallible. The Holy Spirit never, never, ever errs. Did you know that? If we would listen to the Holy Spirit and what He has to say to us, we would not ever be in trouble. But we don't. We need to realize that if we would only let go and let God take care of us, we would live a whole lot better life. We would have everything that we need in life and then some. But we like to do it what? Our way. We want it, we want it now. We have the Burger King mentality, right? I mean, I've said for years, there's not one of us that don't have the Burger King mentality. But here we see that in 1 Corinthians 2:13 it says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, can you discern spiritual things on your own? No, you can't. There's no way we can discern a spiritual thing on our own. None. Zero. Nada. You cannot discern a spiritual thing on your own. Now, what we need to realize is this, that man's words did not do the teaching. You know, there was an awful lot of teachers back in the New Testament time when the church just started. There was an awful lot of people who wanted to have the same power as what the disciples had. There was an awful lot of people that wanted to be able to heal the sick, raise the dead, cause the lame to walk, cause the blind to see. There was an awful lot of people that wanted to do that, and there was a lot of false teachers. Guess what? We've got the same thing today. We have an awful lot of false teachers today that are claiming to be men of God. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. Have you ever read the Bible and all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, boy, I don't know what that really means. So you take it and you read it again, and all of a sudden, it just comes to you like that. Hey, you know what? That's the Holy Spirit telling our spirit what we should know about that scripture. You know, there's an awful lot of people who miss that fact. I don't think you can take a telephone, at least I haven't been able to, and I've read, believe it or not, I read through the Bible on my telephone. I just wanted to see what would happen if I read through the Bible on my telephone. Do you know what I got out of it? Nothing. Nothing. So you know what I did? I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that again. I sat down, I opened up my Bible, and I started reading. I got through the first four chapters of Genesis in 4 weeks. You say, well, how could that happen? Well, all of a sudden, God opened up insights to me in the first four chapters of Genesis that I'd never seen before. I'm the preacher. I should be able to know all that stuff, right? But you know what? Every time I read through the Bible, I find something different. You know, that's one thing about the Bible. It's new every morning. But you know, the Holy Spirit also reveals the deep things of God through the Scriptures. You know, the late Dr. Jack Hyle said this. He says, I read through my Bible every year. Every year. He says, I have ever since I was just a boy. After I got saved, my preacher challenged me to read through my Bible every year. He says, I've probably read through the Bible 125 times. And he says, you know what? Every time I do, I find something that I missed the first time, or the time before, or the time before. Or all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit opens up a whole new light on something that I saw in the past. Wow. You know, man cannot reveal the wisdom of God, but the Holy Spirit can. You know, I can stand up here and I can holler and shout, yell and scream, bang my head on the pulpit, and I can come up to Chuck and just give him a right cross. Did you understand that, Chuck?
No.
See? But you know what? The Holy Spirit can reveal to us things that we don't even know. You know, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us through the Word of God. You know, it was through the Holy Spirit's inspiration that the Bible was written. If anybody knows the Bible, who would it be? The Holy Spirit. But you know, there are data sources compiled for the writing. If you take and you look at how the Bible was written, you know, the first part of the Bible was written on stone. Did you know that? The first part of the Bible ever written was written on stone. And it wasn't during the Stone Age either. It wasn't during the... can't remember the name of the guy back then. Magnus Fall or whatever it was. Anyway, some guy, you know what I mean? Millions of years ago. It wasn't them at all. Yeah, that's it. And you know him too? Oh, anyway. But you know, it was the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were written on stone. Now, you know, what amazes me is this. Is that God wrote them out with His finger. I do not believe that was sandstone. I believe it was granite. Something that was going to last for a long time. Something that was going to stand the test of time. Here's two tablets, and God's penning them out with His finger. Wow. But not only that, but there's also scrolls written on by man, given by God. Jeremiah 36:2, it says, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee for the days of Josiah even unto this day. Not only was there written on stones, but the early writers of the Bible had it penned out on scrolls. God told Jeremiah, I want you to take and I want you to write everything that I told you to write. What happened to the writing? The king cut it up with a penknife, threw it into the fire, and burned it up. God's word was destroyed, right? God looked at Jeremiah and he says, okay, grab another one, write it again. And I'm going to give you a little more to write this time. And he did. He wrote everything out word for word the way he had written it the first time. Wow. That's unbelievable. How could a person, after writing that much, turn around and rewrite it again after it was destroyed? It's only by God. You know, if you take and you look at the material that's searched out, going to the book of Luke, there was prophetic material. Only God can give true 100% prophecy. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know, as we think of the Bible, and we think of the things that were written in the Bible, we think to ourselves, well, a lot of this was all prophecy that had been fulfilled. Right? You know, you think about what Ezekiel wrote. You think about what Daniel wrote. You think about what you know, all the early prophets wrote. A lot of it was prophecy that came to pass. Why was it prophecy that came to pass? Because it had to. Or it could not have been put into the Bible. But what about the stuff that hasn't happened yet? Yep. What about history? Much of the Bible records a history and is so accurate that it is even used yet today. There was a dig done over in Israel just recently, and they uncovered something from the days of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. They uncovered this, and it was exactly to the place where it said it in the Bible. And that's how they used to find it, was the Bible. If you take a look at the archaeological digs that have been done over in the Middle East, most of them have been done by use of the Word of God. Because it is the most accurate history book ever written. If you want to know history, read the Bible. Then also, we have, God was the administrator to the human authors of the Bible, so that they composed and recorded without error his message to mankind in words of their original writing. I was reading an article today. I was on the internet looking at some things, and in this article, it said this. It said that the most accurate description of the early writings of the Bible were the Textus Receptus. Guess what was written from the Textus Receptus? King James, 1611. They took the Textus Receptus and they went through it, and they rewrote it into English, right out of the Greek and the Hebrew. Now, we need to understand that the old book, the Bible, was God-breathed, man wrote it, and guess what? All of us can possess it. You know, as I was going through this, I have in my library at home many, many Bibles. I have, I have Bibles that were written back in the early 1800s. I've got one Bible that, I, if I'm not mistaken, is dated 1812 or 1811, something like that. That's old. And I got another Bible in there that was dated 1905. Got another one that was dated 1930s. Another one 1940s, 50s, and so on. And do you know what I found about those Bibles? There's nothing different about them. Didn't make any difference that they're written in the 1800s. Didn't make any difference that they're written in the 1900s. They're all the same. Why? Because they're all the same King James Bible. Some of them aren't King James 1611, but they're all the same Bible. They were all written from the Exodus of Septuagint. I was taken thinking about a Bible that I once had. This was back in the 1960s. It burned up in our house in 1968 when our house burned. But we found it in, my dad owned a grocery store that was built in 1890, something like that. In the floor, between the floor and the ceiling downstairs, in the area there between the joists, there was a Bible in there. And it was ripped in half because it was so thick you couldn't get it in there. And I never knew, I've always wondered why they put it there. But it was written in German. And it was a Gutenberg Bible. It was, what it was a, off the Geneva, Texas. And now the Geneva Bible was written before the King James 1611. And the two of them, no one knew anything about the Geneva until after the King James 1611 was written, and they compared the two together, and they were identical. The two Bibles were totally identical, almost verse for verse. The only difference between the early Geneva Bible and the King James Version was the order of the books in them. This Bible started with Genesis, went to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, John, so on and so forth. But when it came to the minor prophets were put in chronologically, in chronological order, in the Old Testament. Now, the way we have our Bible, you've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you've got your history books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Then you've got your poetry books, you've got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Then you've got your major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. And then you've got your minor prophets, Hosea, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Yeah, she's got it. Anyway, but so then we've got, and that's the way our Bible is put together. But chronologically, that's not the way things happen. Now, in the early Bibles, this Bible that we found, we had, my grandma could speak German, and she could read German. And she read that Bible. And the Bible was written back in the 1600s. That's how old that Bible was. It was written in the 1600s. And we figured that it was either written just before the King James Bible came out, or because King James Bible wasn't done until 1619, I think it was, 1616, something like that. It was started in 1611, but it was finished later on. But anyway, we went and we found out that it was before actually what the 1611 King James was. And I wish I had it today. You have no idea how I wish I had that Bible today. But, it was lost in the fire. But I did have my hands on it. I was able to page through the pages and look at how things were laid out. Even though I couldn't read it because it was in German, and I can't read a lot of German, but I can read a little bit. But through the years, even though the way the books are written and things have changed, the way they're put in the Bible, they're still the same. It's still the same today as when it was God breathed in the day that it was penned out. Next week, we're going to take a look at how the Bible was put together. Let me ask you, why was it certain books were put into the Bible and certain books weren't? You're going to find out next week. Why was it there? Do you know that Solomon wrote thousands of different things, and there were just a few of his writings that were put into the Bible? Isaiah, they found books or writings of Isaiah that were never put into the Bible. David wrote thousands of other things that were never put into the Bible. I'm going to show you next week why some things were and some things were not put into the Bible. Let's pray. Father,